A to Z of college recruiting. This is the show where you'll learn about the latest tips and tricks on how to maximize your scholarship opportunities tenfold. You'll learn the hows, whys, and whats of college recruitment and scholarships. Let's get into it.
Welcome to episode 49 of the NSL podcast, the show where we give you the latest tips and tricks on how to maximize your collegiate opportunities. We've got some fantastic books on the show today as well.
Good morning, Richo.
Good morning, Marco. You're back on the show this week. Matt is still away being a dad. Yeah, he's still being a dad. As you've just seen, we've got some books here that you can grab for free on our website at nsraustralia.com.au. 12-step guides. I'll start again.
No, don't start again. Keep going.
Excuse me.
Yeah, keep going.
This week as well, you'll see in the green screen behind us, we're going to be taking a stroll through Furman University and NCAA Division I program in South Carolina. If you're not on YouTube, jump on YouTube, have a quick look. Unbelievable facilities. While you're on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe. Click the red button.
Smash that red button.
Smash the red button.
Smash it.
Exactly. We're almost at 800, 900, almost at 1,000 subscribers now as well, which is awesome. Yep. Make sure you download any podcast app or all podcast
apps. Stitcher, iHeartRadio.
TuneIn Radio.
Anything like that.
We're on all podcast apps, almost on Spotify.
Yep.
So keep an eye out. In the coming weeks, we'll be on Spotify as well. Don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date with all the podcasts.
Now, and incredible episode today.
An incredible episode today. We're going to be talking about Education USA. You've probably heard of them and their information sessions that they run across the country
Why you should attend an Education USA seminar.
Exactly. Why you should attend an Education USA
Strange.
Seminar.
Initially, when we brainstormed this topic, Richo, you probably thought it was a bit strange to start with.
Yeah, look, and
I think potentially a lot of listeners out there are probably saying, well, isn't Education USA a competitor of NSR?
Yeah.
They're actually not. No, they're not competitors. They're information sessions, and we'll explain how that sort of works and how that goes. But we believe in the ability to provide customers and consumers with education. Mm-hmm. We pride ourselves on being an education, training, and management organization.
Yep.
That does college recruitment, not just a college recruitment company. And you know, on our website, if you go to the homepage, we list other scholarship agencies. We provide you with free tools, resources to review books like this, because we genuinely believe in educating the consumers and educating our customers and educating people out there who I guess want to go to a central place to find all the information. Yes, there will be some people out there who want us to do it for them, but we would encourage everybody to research, review, get involved in the podcast,
attend an Education USA information session.
Yep.
If you can. They have lots of great information. So we're going to be talking about the information sessions that they run and give you a little bit more of an insight as to the information they do give to students.
I'm assuming after the little bit of music, we're going to go straight into why you should attend an Education USA seminar.
Exactly. So stay tuned. It's going to be an awesome episode. All right. So the first segment, we are going to talk about Education USA. Just give you a bit of an overview of who they are and what they actually do.
And directly from their website. Yep. Education USA is a U.S. Department of State network.
Yep.
Of over 425 international student advising centers in more than 175 countries. So clearly,
they're all over the place.
They're huge.
Exactly. They're pretty big, and Department of State as well. So they're sort of a government, government based.
So basically, Education USA promote the US higher education system to international students around the world through presentations and online marketing.
Yep.
So they are an organization devoted to promoting studying in the US.
In the US, exactly.
Yep.
And again, from their website, they're here to help you through the process of applying to study in the US. They run general information sessions. They run sports scholarship information sessions. They have pre-departure services as well.
Yep, they're incredibly active around the world, but incredibly active in the community, active in schools, active in events and, yeah. And counsel, sorry, career council days and yeah. career advising days.
Basically all about providing information yep. to study in the US.
And they're very, very popular in Australia, obviously yep. being an English-speaking country where our English high school results translate quite comfortably.
Yep.
They're very, very active in Australia.
Exactly. And they have a few offices around Australia as well. They run information sessions all over the country, different schools and colleges and universities and things like that. I think there's always a few in Geelong.
Geelong is very popular.
Geelong is very popular, yeah.
But when you say offices, let's just clarify that.
Yeah.
Their offices are the consulate offices, the American consulate offices within each sort of country. So there's an American consulate in Sydney, in Melbourne, and in Perth.
Yeah.
So their offices are actually the US consulate. So they're obviously the government.
Exactly. And look, I don't know if you know too much about sort of the US embassies and consulates here in Australia, but
it's not a walk-in office.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not something you just wake up in the morning and say,
I'm going to go to the consulate. And learn, speak to Education USA.
Or I can just be picking up the phone to the consulate, in any consulate,
yeah.
is
difficult and hard to get a hold of and time-consuming, exactly. But look, we're going to be really sharing with you the information that they share at their information sessions.
Try and simplify it for
you. And try and simplify it for you, more based around the athletic component, so looking at going over as a student-athlete. But we'll talk about general students as well and the information that they provide, you know, students that are going over just looking to study in the US and further their education.
We'll break the information down, provide you with some pointers and some things to be mindful of and things to look out for and things to potentially ask as well.
Exactly. So, look, that's just a bit of information about Education USA and I guess the type of information they provide, where they're located. We'll obviously break it down and their information sessions, we'll break that down obviously in a little bit more detail in the coming segment, so stay tuned. So in this segment, we'll start with their information sessions about athletic scholarships.
Yeah.
This is the main one we're going to be speaking about, obviously.
Now we'll just explain again. We believe that you should be getting as much information as you can from everywhere. And obviously, these Education USA seminars are a fantastic resource mm-hmm. to provide information for you. Like all information, you need to take all the information and then review what you've actually taken as well. Yeah. And obviously research is a very, very important part of the whole process.
Yeah.
The information sessions itself, Richard, they're it's generic information for generic students.
Exactly. If you're looking at going over as a general student, then the information that you're going to receive from Education USA, nothing is going to be hidden. It's always going to be correct.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to go through eligibility centers, which is what we'll talk about now as well.
You can technically pick where you want to go if you're a student. So
yeah. going you're not, as a you're student, not as restricted as you are no. if you're
a student or if you're an athlete. Yeah. It's two different things. Going as a student athlete is one thing. Going as a student is another.
Exactly.
Going as a student, worry about your grades. Worry about where you want to go. Worry about your finances, and we'll explain those steps. Worrying about as an athlete, there's quite a few other steps.
There's so many more different variables that come into play, obviously, which is what we'll talk about now. There's sports scholarships, information sessions, and what you need to be mindful of.
Yeah, definitely. So, essentially. Now, don't forget, the Education USA is a company that is technically run and owned by the US Department of State. So it's
the government.
By the government.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's not a college.
No.
It's not a college recruitment agency.
No.
They have no say whether or not you're going to, they don't determine how good you are as an athlete.
Yeah.
They have no say as to whether or not a college coach is going to.
They're not helping you find offers.
No.
They're not helping you find athletic scholarships and opportunities at colleges. They're not communicating with coaches. That is completely up to you. What they do provide is information on how to do that yourself,
pretty much,
essentially.
Yeah,
exactly. And
and one of the things that they obviously quite they explain a fair bit about is, you know, the NCAA, so the National Collegiate Athletic Association. So the NCAA...
The biggest governing body of collegiate sports.
Yeah, it's got the most schools. Yeah. They've got the biggest campuses. Yeah. They're certainly the most talked about institutions around the world because they're obviously the biggest and have the most funding.
Exactly.
So obviously, as we've mentioned in other podcasts, you have the NCAA, you have the NAIA, you have the NJCAA, and you have all the other California ones and NWAC and the rest of it. So there's quite a few governing bodies.
Yeah.
But the NCAA is arguably the most...
The biggest and well-known.
Most popular and most well-known.
Exactly. And over the past few years, I mean, we've looked at presenters for that Education USA have had over the past few years. And
the majority of
them are former NCAA Division I, Division II
athletes. The majority of their executives are also former NCAA athletes or executives at NCAA schools.
So the information that they share is obviously always based on their experiences, and usually at the end of their presentations or their information sessions, I'll ask you to go through the NCAA Eligibility Center, which is what we'll
and I think we'll talk about for everybody who sort of goes through this process of searching for sports scholarships, probably one of the first things that always comes up is, oh, you must be registered with the NCAA Eligibility Center if you want to play college sports in the USA.
Yeah.
Now, in theory, Richo, in theory, that's correct.
If you want to play in the NCAA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to play in the NCAA is the key sentence there, because if you want to play in the NCAA doesn't really mean much.
Wanting to play in the NCAA and being eligible to
being
play
eligible
is two different
and
things.
Eligibility is based around academics and athletic ability.
Exactly.
So you might have the academic ability to play in the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
You may not have the athletic ability. Here's another one for you. You may have the athletic eligibility, the academic eligibility, but you may not have the financial capability to play in the NCAA.
Exactly, because these bigger schools... Yep.
And here's another one for you, Richo. So you might have the athletic, the financial, the academic, but you may not have the social want. Like, you may not want to participate in an NCAA school because they're generally the biggest schools.
Exactly. I know I wouldn't have coped. I may have well been academically eligible, arguably athletically eligible as well. We'll say I was. But going into a lecture hall with 200 other students, I wouldn't have coped.
And we advise you to look at some of the podcasts, you know, which college is the best for me. I'm not sure what episode that is, but, you know, what's the best college for me to attend?
Yeah.
Things like that, right? We've got a lot of those podcasts that we sort of try and educate you guys as well. But these Education USA seminars are heavily promoted towards the NCAA.
Exactly.
I would argue that you would probably leave one of those Education USA seminars only knowing
about the NCAA
and obviously having a strong preference towards the NCAA. I guess if you tell anybody, do you want to go to the biggest and the most popular schools, or do you want to go to the schools that no one actually talks about?
Mm-hmm.
When you put it that way, it's pretty...
Yeah.
the decision's almost made for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. But again, the Education USA seminars... promoted towards the NCAA. And one of the things that most, you know, when you research NCAA or when you research Education USA or you attend one of these seminars, is that you're going to always hear the word eligibility center. Mm-hmm. You must register for the eligibility center. Now, I'll let you explain, Richard, what the eligibility center actually is, and I'll tell you what it isn't.
Okay, so the NCAA eligibility center is basically to become certified, you know, I guess to be an eligible NCAA Division One or Division Two athlete. There's a different certification process for the NCAA Division Three, which we may touch on here in a second. But
so if you want to play in the NCAA,
exactly, you need to be
in theory.
Yeah,
you need to be registered with the
NCAA Eligibility Center.
The word "register" is probably the part that confuses people because they believe I've registered with the NCAA, I get to play in the NCAA.
Yeah,
registering for the NCAA Eligibility Center is purely registering to provide a.
To be certified to compete and
to provide
study.
A certification.
Exactly.
I'm not registered to play.
Yeah.
I'm registered to receive a certification. That certification will determine whether or not I am eligible to participate in the NCAA. So the terminology, obviously, between English and American you know, is probably a little bit that's gone astray there because when you tell me I need to register to play in the NCAA, I automatically believe, well, okay, well, I want to play this. I want to register there.
Yeah.
But registering for the NCAA Eligibility Center is registering to provide a certification to allow you to play.
Yeah, so basically they'll determine your amateurism.
Amateurism and your academic eligibility. Yeah, now,
exactly.
Amateurism, quite self-explanatory, but amateurism, you must be an amateur to participate in college sports. So
you haven't signed a contract with an agent or a professional.
Yeah, and you haven't received large amounts of money to play your sport.
Yep.
You must be deemed an amateur. Okay, most sports within Australia, most teenagers are amateurs based on the way the governing bodies are here in Australia.
Yeah.
But again, you still need to be certified as an amateur.
Exactly. Now, usually after these information sessions that Education USA run, the action that they'll ask you to take is to
register
and complete the eligibility center forms, documentation, and it costs money as well.
Yeah, so I believe registering for the NCAA Eligibility Center is anywhere between, say, $150 and $250, right?
Yeah.
Not a lot of money. And especially if you believe that all I need to do is register for the NCAA Eligibility Center, and I'm registered to play with the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we would advise student athletes to hold off on registering for the NCAA Eligibility Center because, number one, you don't need to be classified as an amateur just yet.
No.
Anyone can tell you whether or not you're a professional or an amateur. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll use some examples, some very clear examples. If you're playing for, and we'll use soccer as an example, and basketball is obviously the two biggest sports, but if you're playing for Melbourne Victory and you're earning a wage, you're more than likely going to be classified as a professional.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're playing for Melbourne United in the basketball, you're more than likely going to be classified as
a professional.
As a professional. So you don't need necessarily anyone to tell you that just yet. If you're playing local basketball or local soccer or local tennis or, local, just swimming locally, you don't necessarily need anybody to tell you that you're an amateur just yet. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Second thing, the academic eligibility.
Academically.
Now, obviously, there's a certain amount of core classes that determine whether or not you are eligible to compete in the NCAA. Now, there's quite a few podcasts that we've spoken about the subjects, and potentially we'll go back into that. But there is no need at a specific point to determine that, especially at the start of your information gathering process.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to find that out just yet.
And Education USA mentioned on their website, and if you have a look, that they suggest that you go through or begin the eligibility center process in your sophomore year, year 10 here in Australia. And that's, speaking about academics, that's when you start selecting courses for year 11
subjects,
and 12. So they'll give you information on courses that you need to select to remain academically eligible for the NCAA Division 1 and 2. So if you're in year 11 or 12 and you're attending one of these seminars, going through the eligibility center and paying your money may not be necessary. If you speak to anyone,
Google it.
You can determine your own academic eligibility based on the classes you've taken from year 9 through grade 12 and save yourself a few dollars.
And if we just take a step back, Richo, as well, and I know we're going to talk about it here, but that's not the first step in the information gathering process of searching for sports scholarships.
Yeah.
That's step 5 or
exactly.
4 or 8.
Yeah.
Right. It's definitely not step 1. So before you register for the eligibility center, before you go and spend any money on determining whether or not you have the right subjects, before you feel like you've missed out on playing college sports because you're in year 11 and you didn't take English and you heard that you need to take English or you need to take maths, or I didn't take science, so I'm in trouble. Just take a deep breath and just relax.
Exactly.
Because it doesn't mean that you've missed out. It doesn't mean that you need to register with the NCAA Eligibility Center. Like, we would advise, as we do, hold off. There is no real value to you doing that until you've completed some of the other steps.
Exactly. You understand, I guess you understand, again, as I mentioned just before, if you're in year 11 and 12, understand your academic eligibility first, which you can do on your own before going through the eligibility
center. Understand your own ability.
Understand your athletic abilities and potential as well, because that's something you definitely need to be mindful of. Understand sort of the financial capabilities of you and your family and determine a bit of a budget.
So in short,
those things come first.
It's not registering there does not mean that you will play in the NCAA.
Yeah.
It has no say whether or not you're a good athlete or you're not a good athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And it is certainly not required to register for the NCAA Eligibility Center in order to find out whether or not you have the ability and the opportunity to actually participate in the
exactly. NCAA. And you can receive opportunities, verbal opportunities, and offers from NCAA schools before going through the NCAA Eligibility Center as well. That can be something that you can do afterwards. So you can even have a plan in place and have an opportunity and then go through the eligibility. Yep.
And I think that sort of is a great segue for the next segment where we actually break down the steps itself.
Yep. So in the next segment, we'll speak about, I guess, the five steps that Education USA speak about on their website and in their information sessions. We'll break that down a little bit. I'll give you more information surrounding those steps in the next segment. So stay tuned. We've got about 10 more minutes. We'll keep it to around half an hour this episode. So the information in the next segment is definitely important. Okay, so last segment. We'll talk about Education USA's five steps. Now, if you look on their website or you attend an information session, which again,
we recommend that you do. If you have the opportunity to attend one, we recommend that you do because they provide fantastic information, fantastic resources, mm-hmm. and from a general sort of look at the study abroad and the sports scholarship process, mm-hmm. it is fantastic. And like we always say, you know, the education component of this process is very, very important. Very important. So, by all means, we recommend that if you have the chance to go and attend one of Education USA's seminars, by all means, you should.
Exactly. You should. So, the five steps that they display on their website.
This is on the website.
Okay. Exactly. And I'll put this in the show notes as well. I'll put their website in the show notes so you can see.
So, five steps sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Five steps isn't too difficult. Five steps doesn't take me a lot of time.
No, exactly.
Okay. So, I've said to my mum and dad, yep, I want to play soccer or basketball or swim or row mm-hmm. or tennis or volleyball in America. I want to go and get a scholarship. I've researched, it says I need to register for the NCAA
mm-hmm.
To play. And I'm going to follow Education USA's five steps, which is on the website.
Yep.
So step number one, they've got research your options.
Yep.
Should I read them all or go one by one? I'll read them all first.
Read them all first and then we'll
go through. So research your options is step number one.
Yep.
Finance your studies is step number two.
Mm-hmm.
Complete your application is step number three. Apply for your student visa is step number four. And number five, prepare for your departure.
Yeah. So, and they break it down obviously a lot more on their website.
Yeah.
Each individual step.
But they're the five steps.
Yep.
Now, if I was going through this process by myself to start with, I would see those five steps and I'd say, fantastic.
Sounds pretty simple.
Yep, I'm going to research. I don't need to research
mm-hmm.
because I know I want to go straight to California
yep.
and I want to go to Florida yep. and I want to go to New York.
The three big ones.
Done. My research is complete.
Yep.
Okay, so,
again,
these five steps are the exact five steps that you should take if you're a general student.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a bit more into it and they do explain it a bit more, but it's not as straightforward and as easy as just the five basic steps.
Yeah.
But as a general student, that makes...
Follow these steps. Exactly.
And more than likely have your opportunities. But yeah. as an athlete, as a student athlete...
It's pretty different.
It's completely different. Yeah. Yeah, it's completely different.
There are so many more variables that you need to be taken into consideration before even starting step one, which is what we'll sort of break down here. And just to mention, we have our... Yeah.
For those of you watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast, like you can go to our website, you can download the free 12-step guides, right? So we believe it's more than five steps. We believe it's 12 steps as an athlete.
Yep.
But you can get them from nsraustralia.com.au.
Yeah.
12 steps to how to find sports scholarships across the US.
And these are our pocket guides, yep, by the way, as well. We have
35,000 words in a pocket guide, 96,000 words in the full version,
yep,
which is coming out shortly.
Very soon.
But five steps isn't enough for athletes, okay? No. The variables that you mentioned, Richo, the variables are just too much. So exactly. As an athlete, sorry, Richo, that says Richo, yeah. that doesn't say me.
Well, no, look, as an athlete, they've mentioned step one is researching your options. And if you look back to a previous episode, how much time do you need to find scholarships in the USA? You'll understand that this section could probably be broken down into multiple, yeah, sections.
So researching your options isn't researching where I want to go,
mm,
as step number one. So if research itself is probably a few steps, right? So researching what is my ability.
Yeah.
How do I compare? Step, that's podcast number...
What was recent?
Yeah, podcast number 15 or 20. How do I compare? So your researching should actually start with comparing your ability, having a look at rosters, having a look at international students that they've already recruited, having a look, yeah, at their times. Have a look at what you're swimming now, what you're running now, and have a look at how those times compare to...
Exactly, and general research as well. Different areas of the country, yep, states, places you might be interested in.
But the term research isn't just research where I'd love to live.
No, exactly.
Okay, so researching your options, again.
If you're going it alone, it's something that can take a lot of time.
Yeah, we recommend if you're going at this alone, anywhere between 18 months and above.
Researching and understanding where you fit as a student athlete will take time. Will certainly
step
take time.
Number two. So they say financing your studies. Now, like anything, we believe that the finance part of it should be first. You don't go looking,
yeah,
for houses and then find out if you've got the money to buy the house.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes, you're looking at maybe concept. Increasing your budget a little bit.
Yeah.
But you've gone on realestate.com with a specific amount of money that you have already.
Yep.
That you know you can spend. And yes, you may be able to push the bank manager for a little bit of extra,
yeah,
but you're not going into realestate.com
blind. No, exactly. You'll save yourself a lot of time if understanding your finances and determining a budget is done at the beginning. Because
so
you're
financing your studies should be more step number one,
yeah,
understanding what is my financial capability. Now, there's a great... checklist that we've provided. Mm-hmm. It's on the website. Oh, sorry, in the 12-step guide. It helps you understand your financial capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll break down your expenses and things like that to give you a better understanding of what you can potentially afford.
So what you're spending here,
yep,
in Australia or New Zealand on a yearly basis.
So that'll help you with step number one, which, yep, education would say step number two.
Yep.
So step number one should be financing.
Pretty much understanding, yep, your finances. You don't want to be contacting schools and coaches and then find out...
Applying for schools.
Exactly, and then find out that
you can't afford
that
it.
School is going to be way too much.
Yep.
So, because that research can be done earlier.
So step number three, Education USA say complete your application.
Yep.
Okay. Now, that sounds pretty easy. I'm at step three already. I can probably do step three in 30 minutes based on this.
Exactly. In our 12-step guide, we've got this particular...
Completing the application isn't, for us, until step number nine.
Until chapter nine.
Until chapter nine.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not step three. It's not, I've researched, I want to go to California. It's not, yep, I've got a bit of pocket money, I'll go there.
Yeah.
And then step three, I'm completing my application. So even the term complete your application, right? I think that even has the terminology complete your application is potentially even forward thinking too, yeah, much, right? So it's apply. Find out if you can actually get in. It's not, yeah, complete your application, yeah, right? So
now again, as a general student, these sort of five steps
probably may make a lot more sense.
Make more
still
sense.
Not as easy, but make a lot more sense. So
as an athlete, obviously they haven't taken into consideration coach communication, you know,
Definitely.
Any of that sort of stuff.
No, so the last two steps, which we just mentioned there, like they're a lot more difficult. They take a lot more time. Yeah. You need to know exactly what you're doing, right? So we would advise anyone, before you register for any NCAA Eligibility Center, before you complete or start any application, applications aren't free either, right? Certain schools across the US make a hell of a lot of money through their application process.
UCLA, for example, would make billions.
Yeah, because the school is very well sold, like everywhere around the world, which is why everybody wants to go to the US. Everyone knows about American institutions through films, through Hollywood, through sports teams, through just
everything. Yes,
general American culture. Yeah. It's fantastic. That's why you should go, right? It's brilliant. That then generates awareness in institutions, and then because of the wrong information or not enough information, you will go out and apply to schools without actually knowing whether or not you should be applying there or not. And some application fees are as cheap as $90, right? And some of them are expensive as $200 or $300. Now, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot of money, but you multiply that by billions of people around the world who are doing it, then it becomes a large chunk of money. So no need to spend any money on eligibility centers. Don't register for the NCAA just yet.
Don't go through
college applications, right? And again, the information we're providing is for student athletes, not just students.
Exactly.
Step number one: go back, finance your studies,
understanding
your finance, not finance your studies, understanding your finances. Step number two would then be, you know, researching your options. But researching your options is split into
multiple steps. Yep.
So research your options. A, compare my ability.
Yeah.
Right. Research your options. B is understand my social preferences.
Yeah.
And then so on.
Like I said, completing your application is step nine in our guide. So you're probably missing seven or eight steps in between sort of research and completing your application.
And as we've said all along in this episode, we believe the Education USA seminars are fantastic, provide great information. Exactly. And from a general perspective, it provides you with some incredible resources. And overall, we recommend that if you have the opportunity to attend one of these seminars, well, then you should.
Yeah. And as we've mentioned throughout the episode, you just need to be mindful with a few of the things that I mentioned, obviously. We've spoken about the NCAA Eligibility Center. We've spoken about the NCAA in general. I guess the actions that they'll ask you to take after attending one of these information sessions.
Off.
Exactly. Just hold off. Get a second opinion. Speak with someone else. But hopefully this episode has given you a bit of an insight into Education USA and the sessions that they run across the country and the world, obviously. Some great information, as we've said multiple times. Attend one of the sessions if you can. I'll chuck a link in the show notes to where you can look at session times around the country and things like that as well. If you're on our website, grab one of the books.
I wonder if they'll have us attend one of their seminars.
Maybe.
Good luck.
I may be presenting it the next one.
Yep.
But I was an NCAA athlete, so probably couldn't.
Another final shout out to Matt and Brooke and their baby boy, who is now two weeks old, and that's why I'm taking my chair back on the podcast.
Taking your place back on the podcast.
But Matt will more than likely be back next week unless we have a revolt. Is that the right word?
You may go on strike.
Send enough messages saying that we want Marco rather than we want Matt. and I'll stay.
Exactly. Don't forget, when you do scream and shout for Marco to stay on the podcast, give us some feedback as well on not only this episode, but the podcast in general, any past episodes. If you have any ideas on topics, make sure you shoot them through. Don't forget to subscribe to YouTube and any other podcast app. Give us a star rating on
Smash
iTunes.
Smash that subscribe button, please. It helps us to know we're on the right track.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll be back next week with another awesome topic.
Awesome, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.